Good morning and welcome to our service at the Cambridge Vineyard. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful day, beautiful weather out there. My name is Scott Rowe. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard Church. As you are aware, for all of Canada this coming week on Thursday, September the 30th, that day, September the 30th, has been designated as a Canadian national holiday, as a national day for truth and reconciliation. It's remembering the pain of the residential school survivors and those who died, and being able to think, to ponder, to reflect, to learn more about our Indigenous people throughout Canada. And what some of the Vineyard churches, many of them, are doing today is they are taking time, and this is us as well, to reflect, to remember, all through a posture of repentance. So that's what we're taking part. That is going to be our focus this morning. So pray with us and walk with us as we journey in this. And I'll be saying more of that later on. Right now, I just want to open us up in prayer. And as I was thinking about how to open us up, because I was asking the Lord, just how can we posture ourselves? And it was almost immediately, I would have to say, what came to mind were the last few words, last few lines in David's psalm that he wrote in Psalm 139. So these are the words that David wrote. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting. I think that captures our desire today. So let's pray. Father God, the one we come before and worship. Lord, your word has said what's required of us. One of the three things is to humble ourselves, walk humbly with our God. And so, Father God, we come before you because you are a loving God who loves us, who is faithful to us. And this morning, Lord, as we reflect, as we remember, as we listen, as we learn, as we turn towards you to face, we want you to search our hearts. And so, Lord, our prayer today is to search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. Point out anything in us that offends you, O God, and lead us along the path of everlasting. So, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come and minister deep into our hearts. For those who are listening, whether it's today or whether it's later on this week, we just pray, Lord, that through the prayers, through the teaching, that, Lord, that you'd be able to come and touch hearts. So, Father, we just thank you for this time together. We say, come, Holy Spirit. I just want to segue now as we go into our teaching. Here's what I want you to know. I do not, and this has been something that has been wrestling with me, and I've said this in my prayers, I don't feel qualified to be able to teach on this, but I sense pushback from the Holy Spirit is, you may not be qualified, but I'm asking you, can you walk with people in this journey of the whole thing of looking at truth and reconciliation, what's, you know, what Canada is embarking on? Can you walk with people? So this morning, I want this to be more of a, I want to talk with you. I want to talk to you. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go over there and grab a stool and come back and sit. Because this feels more like I'm talking with you. I hope that's how it comes across. So as I said at the beginning of the service, the Canadian government has set aside September the 30th, that day, every year now, that's going to be the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation. Many of our Vineyard churches, I don't know if all, but many of our Vineyard churches across Canada are participating in this. And so we're doing this as a faith community because we can't do it on the Thursday because it just, obviously, it wouldn't work for us. So we're taking today as that. And it's just remembering, reflecting, we want to learn about the travesties suffered by the Indigenous people of Canada. And we've heard it. We can't deny it because it's been in the news. If you're a living human being, you've heard about it. And so it's something that we can't deny. And it was back in 2015 that there was the Truth and Reconciliation Commission released its findings, which focused on the residential school system that was run by churches and funded by the Canadian government. And we know what took place there in those schools. And what the commission uncovered was sexual, physical, and emotional abuse, and what I would call cultural abuse, although that is probably a tame phrase to use, and you'll understand why as we go further on this morning. This year, the pain of the residential schools was brought back up to the surface again with the discovery of over 1,000 unmarked graves at the schools. And just all that pain surfaced again for the Indigenous people and for Canada as well to be able to have to face this. You know, that, and that news, that was global. That went around the globe. And so that was quite the thing we had to face. And the wounds were just laid bare again, just the pain and the hurt. Six Nations, which is down in Brantford, in the Brantford area, they're taking September 30th as a day to honor the residential school survivors. And their wording is, and the children who never made it home. And just, you know, when you read that, you understand the pain that they carry, right? The pain that is there. And so that pain, what you need to realize, runs deep. It runs deep down through the generations of families that have suffered at the hands of let's say it, white people, okay? That's a fact, the suffering that has gone on. So we're taking this time today to reflect, to listen, and pray, all in the posture of repentance. That's what it is we want to do. As you see here on the table, there are three candles here. And just, you know, in a teaching like this or in a doing a talk like this, I pray, I ask the Lord, Father, what is it you want? And I just sense it was important that we light a candle, but I sensed three candles, which would represent the three specific groups of the Indigenous people, the Métis, the First Nations, and the Inuit. And so we light those to remember them, to honor them, and to be praying for them and praying for ourselves as well. Because what we want to see is reconciliation, of course, come back. So let us pray right now. So Father God, we come before you just as a patient would go to a doctor to say, here's what's wrong. We need help. Can you help? And Lord, we know you are a God of restoration. You are a God who comes and heals and frees. And Father, our desire is to see healing come to all hearts across our nation. To see, Lord, a reconciliation come. We know, Lord, that we speak of being a nation that is free, but we know that, Lord, as long as we don't talk about this, as long as we try to ignore it, there won't be the freedom that we long for and desire. And so Jesus, we think of Paul's words in Galatians that said, you'll know the truth and it'll be the truth that will set you free. And so, Father, as we come and look, as we come and listen, would we begin to experience the freedom you have brought? That is here for us. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission was headed up by a guy by the name of Justice Murray Sinclair. And in what he stated, and he just stated this recently, that the reconciliation that's needed in Canada, what he said is, this isn't going to happen overnight. He says he doesn't think he'll see it in his lifetime, like full reconciliation. He says he doesn't think his children nor his grandchildren will see it, that it's going to take a long time for the healing to come, for that complete restoration. And that's a reminder to us, to me, to you that are listening right now, that having a time such as this, having taking this day, these few minutes to reflect and to learn, it does not mean after this that we are now reconciled and we can just go back to our lives as usual. Anyway, it's a reminder for us that we just don't go back. This isn't mean reconciliation has taken place. However, this time that we are taking is a time for us to, it's a step forward in that right direction. And that's what we want this to be about. Now, I'm sure there's many of you, I know I have been to a counselor at some point or another. And, you know, you have to work through some stuff that you got and you don't know how to do it, right? You hit a wall and you don't know how to handle this or how to walk through it, or there's tension in a relationship or whatever, right? And so you go see a counselor. What we have to always remember going to a counselor is that they don't heal us, right? They don't do that. They don't solve our problems, although we wish they would. Or they don't make life rosy for us. We don't come away going, oh, that's all, I feel all better now. But what counselors do is they are able, as objective people, be able to reflect back to us, you know, what it is they're hearing from us and seeing. They can acknowledge pain that is maybe surfacing, and they can also acknowledge any distorted thinking they're picking up from us. And the other thing they do is they give us strategies in how to live healthier lives, to deal with whatever it is we are dealing with. That is the key in the whole thing of counseling, what I think is the key. And I'm sure if you're a counselor listening to this, you're going, well, there's some other points you're missing, Scott. And that could be. But whether the counseling works or not is largely dependent on whether or not I am listening to the counselor and have a willingness to look at the pain that maybe I'm causing or the pain I have suffered, and a willingness to engage in the strategies to bring me to a place of healthier living. That's the key there with a counselor. And one of the best strategies that I was offered, there were many strategies I've picked up with counselors, but one of the best ones for me was what it means to listen, like to really listen. And I thought I had always really listened, but apparently according to the counselor, not really. And but most of you know what I'm talking about here. So what the counselor had me do is to listen as my wife April shared her feelings. And then they asked me if I had heard what April said and to speak back in my own words what I thought she said, just to make sure that I picked up on, was I really listening? And that strategy was enlightening for me because it didn't just impact my marriage, it impacted like all my relationships, everything about, even if I'm talking to somebody at the wedding yesterday, I had to remind myself, like, really listen, because there's a lot of noise going on, and of course you got a lot of thoughts in your head. But just to really listen to the person, to what they're saying. And it was just casual conversation, but you know, again, that thing, am I listening? That's the key thing. Interesting, Matthew, in his gospel, he records that when Jesus was teaching, he said to his listeners, he said these words, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. See, there's brilliant counseling wisdom there, right? If you have ears, and I do, then listen to understand. So what did Jesus mean by that? It's, are you really listening? He was asking the people who were gathered around, maybe listening, maybe chatting too, are you listening to what I'm saying? Are you really listening to me? And if you go a little further in Matthew's gospel, because that's in Matthew 11, if you go a couple chapters down, he comes back to this again, and he expands on it by quoting from the prophet Isaiah. What he said, quoting from Isaiah, is, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened. Note, Jesus is pointing out why it is you can't hear. Your hearts are hardened. And he goes on, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so they cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me then and let me heal them. That's what it says in Isaiah, and that's what Jesus quoted. And he brings that whole thing of, are you really listening? He brings that right close, zeroes right in on why we have such sometimes have such a hard time listening. Jesus wants to see healing come to our nation. He wants to see healing brought to the indigenous people. He wants to see healing brought to the church. That's why Jesus came. He's the healer, right? But it takes for me, for us to soften our hearts, a willingness to listen, and a willingness to do whatever it takes to bring reconciliation to our nation. A willingness to do that, to bring healing to our indigenous people. And like I said, we know that's our desire. Deep down, we want to see that. We really do. And I know for you as well who are listening, I'm almost like certain that's your desire as well. But I think what we have to do too, John wrote this little letter in the latter part of the New Testament there, and he has some very wise words that he says that we need to heed. And he says these words here. He says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Dear children, that's us, let's not merely say that we love each other, but let us show the truth by our actions. Plainly, if we want to see healing come, it's going to have to not just be words that we speak. It's going to have to be actions that we take. And it all begins with a willingness to listen, to really listen. And I know for many of us, you know, we've started to learn about some of the impact from the residential schools and also just what indigenous people have experienced from the Europeans landing on these shores and everything that took place. And it could be through, you know, YouTube videos or books you've read, or maybe it's documentaries or movies you've seen, and we have learned. But the question becomes that is, have we really listened? Look, the Truth and Reconciliation Report lays out in painful ways the impacts that our ancestors caused, and that continues today in some regard. Like, did you know that the report found the residential school system disrupted parents' ability to pass on their indigenous languages to their children, leading to 70% of Canada's Aboriginal languages being classified as endangered? That means they're right on the edge of being extinct. They're gone. And there's 50 different nations throughout Canada, roughly around there. 50 different nations. So you can do the math there and figure out just how many of the languages are on that endangered list. The commission also found that the deliberately weak education, and I want you to hear this, that the deliberately weak education offered at the residential schools created a poorly educated Indigenous population in Canada. And this in turn impacted, you follow the trail, it impacted the incomes those students could earn as adults. And subsequently, it compromised the educational achievement of their children and grandchildren, who were frequently raised in low-income homes. And it goes on that the commission also found sexual and physical abuse perpetrated at the schools caused lifelong trauma in residential school survivors. Lifelong. And this in turn led to subsequent trauma and abuse, which was often passed down to children and grandchildren and continues to create victims of the residential school system to this day. That's a fact. That's a reality. Now, don't doubt for a second that just like the trauma and abuse that has been passed down to the children and grandchildren of the Indigenous people, so too the attitudes, and this isn't in the report, this is what I'm saying here, so too the attitudes of our ancestors towards the Black, Indigenous, and people of color have been passed down from generation to generation to me. Maybe to you, I don't know. You know your heart. But I know to me, there has been influence there in my life. Today is a day to listen. It's about listening. It's painful. And of course, we'd rather hear inspiring messages because we like to go away feeling great. But if we want healing, if our desire is to have healing, then we have to take a look inside. We have to be as bold as David was, King David, when he, in that Psalm 139, what the words I read at the beginning there, God, search my heart, see what's in there. If there's anything that offends you, we want that cleared away, want that washed away. David was bold enough because David knew what he was after. He wanted the heart of God in him. And that should be our longing as well. That we want that. That we want the gold of the kingdom. That's what we want. Not sure if you're familiar with the author, Indigenous author Lee Miracle, but she's throughout the Indigenous community, a well-known author and poet. And well-respected as well. And she reflects on the presentation of the summary of the report of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And that summary was delivered by Justice Murray Sinclair on June the 2nd, 2015. And she wrote a reflection because she watched it that day as it was presented. And I want to read to you a bit of what she writes. And again, the question is, for me, am I listening? Am I listening? So let me read to you. She writes, I turned on my computer the moment that Justice Murray Sinclair was due to present his report. I watched and sobbed as the news camera scanned the faces in the audience, many of them friends and colleagues. Every person there tried so hard to keep it together. As they struggled to listen to Justice Sinclair without breaking down, each one of them let go a single tear and clenched their teeth. Many of them held eagle feathers. The eagles were busy that day. Justice Sinclair articulated what we all knew to be true, quote, what took place in residential schools amounts to nothing short of cultural genocide. Are we listening? I wanted to call it cultural abuse. Justice Sinclair called it cultural genocide. Are we listening? Lee goes on. As he summarized the report, we wept. We could not bear to hear it, but we knew it needed to be said. We could not bear the pain of hearing it because then the reality would become so powerful. The honorary witnesses aged before the eyes of the camera as the words tumbled out onto the floor. And some of the MPs clenched their teeth too, desperately trying not to break down before the cameras. They were talking about my daddy, my grandma, my aunts, my uncles, some of my siblings, but not as they are today, adult with resources and adults who know they can seek redress. They were talking about my daddy as a little boy, my grandma as a little girl, my aunts and siblings as small children. I remember my siblings as small children, and I wince, so fragile, so innocent, so eager to please, so... And I cannot bear listening, but I do not have the wherewithal to turn the computer off, so I sit breaking apart and listening to something that is much more than painful. Are we listening? I know what happened to my family now. I understand the fracturing and the willful rebuilding through the pain, clutching at every morsel of humor we have left, rebuking the desire to rage at the society that did this to us. I realize as I listen that the most painful thing is pushing out the rage, this amazing desire to hate, and pulling up the need for love, compassion, and understanding. At the same time, I do not understand. I do not know how it is that another society can decide that the society in front of them is worthless, shameful, and prohibitive. I do not understand. I do not understand how one group of people can attempt to erase the culture of another, ban it, and punish the children for engaging in it. But I do understand how the attempts to erase our culture, our language, our knowledge very nearly destroyed our family. I understand the crippling effect this had on each and every one of us. I understand when my aunt tells me what my daddy said when he heard the apology from Prime Minister Harper. At least I know it was not my fault. I understand her when she said, "Bobby, how could you remember so much? I can't remember anything." And I understand him when he answered her, "I couldn't forget." Are we listening? Those are hard words to read. Those are hard to hear that pain. Jesus began his public ministry with these words, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." That word repentance, repent, that's having a feeling of sorrow, but it doesn't stop there. It also means stopping the direction you're going in, turning around, and moving the other way. But in order for that to happen, there has to be an acknowledgement that the direction that we've been going, or that person's been going, or people have been going, is not the right way. And we need to turn from that and move the other way. The actual Greek word in Scripture, the original writing, that's used is metanoia. And the correct interpretation of metanoia is to rethink. Reconsider how you're living your life, the words you're, you know, all that. Reconsider. Rethink. And what Jesus was calling the people when he gave that announcement, and what he calls us to, is to rethink, to take time to rethink. Stop, turn around, and move the other way. We want to do that. But it's a long journey there. We can never forget about this. We always have to keep this before us because we never, ever, ever want to go back to those days. Ever. Ever. Not with any person, not with any human being. Because in doing that, that's the hope for Canada. That's the hope for our grandchildren, that the nation will be different, that we'll see people in the way that God sees them. And rightly so. This Thursday, which is the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, I'd ask you, I'd say this, please don't just treat it as another day. And if you're a federal employee, you have it off. And just don't let it be a holiday as, you know, you get to just have some fun or whatever. The very least, pray for Canada. Pray for the Indigenous people. Weep before God for the sins of our ancestors. And that has trickled down into us. Still, there's seeds that are there. Pray. Maybe it's, if you have that day off, you can go, if there's an event that's taking place where they're remembering this, you can be a part of that. Buy some books. We'll talk about more of that next week. There's books, there's documentaries out there, and learn. Most importantly, though, listen to the stories. Listen to it. Seek to understand. I want to close because this is the point. Are we listening? That's the question before us. But I want to close in what's been called a prayer for reconciliation. And we want the Lord to hear our prayer. We want the Lord to hear us. And the Lord does. God says many times throughout his words that if my people will turn to me, and that's that whole thing of if they'll soften their hearts, if they'll look, I will come and I will heal their land. When Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept, he said, how I wanted to gather them as a hen gathers her chicks, but they wouldn't let me. God's willing. God has taken the first step towards us. And so what we want to do is to turn our hearts towards him and soften our hearts and listen and learn. So we're going to go through this prayer. It's not a long prayer. But if you're at home or if you're listening to this, you can pray it to yourself if you need to, or maybe you can pray it out loud with your family or whoever is with you there. And we'll close with this. So let's go and pray together here. Heavenly Father, our Holy One, Creator of all that is seen and unseen, of story and of song, of heartbeat and of tears, of bodies, souls, voices, and all relations. Jesus, you are the God of all truth and the way of all reconciliation. Uphold with your love and compassion all who open their lives in the sacred sharing of their stories. Breathe in us the grace to trust in your loving forgiveness that we may face our histories with courage. Touch us through the holy gift of story that those who speak and those who listen may behold your own redeeming presence. Father, we ask you to guide us with holy wisdom to enter through the gates of remorse, that our feet may walk gently and firmly on the way of justice and healing. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.